And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is December 1st, 2020. It's Tuesday. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Well, I'm glad
Merry Christmas.
Well, Happy New Year already, yeah. It's amazing. Now, I'm sitting here just sitting here counting my blessings, looking outside. We got our first substantial snow for the year, which is about as big as we got last year, about 8 inches so far, still coming down. But it's warm and cozy, and I'm happy, so I'm blessed.
You have snow?
Yeah, we got snow. A bunch of it.
Wow.
It's like, well, this is about the biggest we ever had last year, so we're already cut up to last year as far as the size of the snow. So it's cold and snowing.
Well, so let's go ahead and get started. It was a great day for gold today. I told you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, you did. You did.
Didn't
tell
I?
Us.
Come on.
You did. That's one for you.
Hold on, I'm stretching my arm to pat me on the back. Just one? I got lots of them.
Oh, that's today. I mean, that I know of, you know.
Well, we had $38 on gold today, $1,815. Silver was up $1.36,
wow.
Little over 6%, at $24.07. Platinum was up $36 at $1,006. So platinum finally made it back up over $1,000. And I think it's going to keep running. Palladium was up $37 at $2,400. And 36. So I would expect a little pressure on the dollar today. It dipped back down into the 91 area. It dipped a lot by 0.76 at 91.23. And the crude oil was down 79 cents at 44.55. And we'll talk about this because I think this was just released. I can't bring it up, so scratch that. Let's go to the paper markets. The Dow up 227 points, 29,866. Took back yesterday's losses. NASDAQ was up 156, 12,355. S&P was up 40 at 3,662. Japan, all markets worldwide pretty much were up. Take a peek at this. The 10-year yield, 0.93%. And that was up 0.09. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when that moves over 1%. But we'll keep an eye on that. So I would expect it to. But you know what? Everybody's happy, even with the fear and greed index, the emotion driving the market, 92, extreme greed. So it doesn't matter. That about the virus, it doesn't matter. Everything is happy. Everyone is happy, Butch.
I understand that. I guess you know.
And I'm happy that they're happy.
Yeah, well, Nero fiddle while Rome burns. So why not enjoy it, right?
Well, why not?
Just roast a marshmallow and a wiener and enjoy yourself.
There you go.
Look the bright
there
side.
There you go. Yeah. So a great day for gold. And again, gold's going to have ups and downs. Silver's going to have ups and downs. It's hard to time. I've had a lot of people who bought when it was around this level, thinking that it would go further, but they bought anyway, and it was down there for a day. Others waited. They had a low yesterday. Did they buy? No, because they thought it was going lower today. Now it's up for almost $40. So you just can't time it. You just need to either make little purchases along the way so you can do a little bit of cost averaging, or you just got to get in there and get it bought, put it away, sit back, and enjoy the ride.
Well, you I shared this last night, and I'm going to share it today in your program because I'm sure a lot of folks can hear this, to encourage them to hang in there. Buy it and hang on to it. Because, folks, it's going to go up. It may drop down a little bit and go up next day a little more, and it may fluctuate some, but it's going to go up. I shared this last night on our program, and Melody's on with me. that back in 1913, when gold and silver backed a dollar, $100,000 was in paper was worth $100,000 in gold and silver, because gold and silver backed it. They were equal, so to speak. In 2007, folks, that's been 14 years ago almost, the $100,000 had dropped to the value of $4,800. Now, slower than that today, but that's, this has been 14 years ago. The gold and silver in 2007 were worth $4 million. 14 years later, folks. Now, keep in mind, 1913 to 2007 is what? That'd be 96. That's almost 100 years later whenever they compared it to what was 1913. 14 years later, or 13 years later, that same amount of gold today is worth $14,500,000, and the silver is worth over $7 million. You figure out, was it worth buying gold and silver in 2007? Oh, obviously, you more than tripled your money in both values, or at least in gold, and doubled it in silver. So understand, folks, you're not going wrong to buy it and hang on to it. It's going up in value. It has to, because the dollar's dropping in value. And this means it takes more Federal Reserve notes to buy an ounce of gold, which makes it, you can take the Federal Reserve note and go to the bank and pay off a loan like I did for the home years ago. I really beat the bank big time, Mildy. I didn't pay more interest. I paid off a loan 17 years early. Imagine what that saved me over a 17-year period. They couldn't take the silver, so I cashed in, took the ferns over to them, FRNs over to them, and they took that. They took a worthless piece of paper, and it paid off a loan. Now, that to me was a great swap and a huge savings, was it not?
Certainly was.
So, folks, buy now. Hang on to it. If it fluctuates in the market, if it goes back down tomorrow, $20, it'll raise 50 over the next couple months. Don't worry about it. Just get it, hang on to it. It will go up in value. I just showed you the figures. This is how it was. So please understand that. Can and hang on to it.
Absolutely. There was one report, there were a couple of reports that I wanted to just touch on briefly today. And that was the U.S. Factory gauge expanded at a slower pace in November, easing back from the strongest reading in 2 years as orders, employment, and production has cooled. The factory activity fell 1.8 points to 57.5. Well, this is according to data from the Institute for Supply Management that was released today. The figure, slightly below the median estimate of 58 in Bloomberg's survey of economists, showed conditions remain well above the 58 level. That it doesn't indicate growth, but there's still a decline. 16 of 18 manufacturing industries reported growth. Even with some lost momentum, the manufacturing measure is second strongest in the past 2 years and well above pre-pandemic levels. Do you believe it or not? We need to have a segment on something like that. Do you believe this or not?
And believe it or not,
on some of these government, and the reason there were signs of strength, I think, because you have backlogs, export orders, and an increasing perception that customer inventories were too low, replenishment, and outright pockets of demand strength can help to maintain production during what can be a soft patch for the overall economy. And of course, they're looking for this to extend into the spring. So I'm not quite sure what happens then. But four of the five components of the ISM's factory gauge cooled, led by the employment index, which dropped 4.8 points to 48.4. A return to contraction that signals potential labor market weakness ahead of Friday's U.S. jobs report. That's right, we'll have the U.S. Job report come Friday. See if there's anything else interesting in there that's worth... the ISM's non-manufacturing index is due Thursday and is projected to show some expansion also, although, again, at a slower pace. And so, again, you're seeing signs. And I can't even imagine what's going to happen come January when the housing market becomes upended. Because, Butch, McConnell shut down stimulus bill that was presented to him today?
I heard he was going to do that. Absolutely, I did.
Yeah.
I didn't know he did, but I heard he was talking about it. Thinking about it.
He rejected the new bipartisan $908 billion stimulus plan. He rejected the proposal.
That's a far cry from what the Democrats wanted, too.
Yes.
Far cry. Huge difference.
McConnell said he spoke to White House officials about what President Donald Trump would sign into law. He plans to offer potential solutions to GOP senators and get their feedback. We just don't have time to waste, he told reporters in response to the roughly $908 billion plan that was put together by bipartisan members of the GOP-controlled Senate and, of course, the Democratic-held House. McConnell said a must-pass spending bill and a pandemic relief provisions will all likely come in one package. So that pushes us up to the trillion-dollar mark. So Congress needs to approve funding legislation by December 11th to avoid a government shutdown. I have a feeling they're going to let the government shut down this time again. The framework of the bill that was released, I guess it doesn't really matter because he didn't sign off on it. So,
Well, there wasn't any money that went to individuals this time. It all went to businesses and post office and student loans and opioid treatment, another thing, but no money went to individuals this time. No one's going to get a check in the mail from what I can see here. Local, state governments, some different things, but nobody, transportation, airlines, all that, but nothing for the individual that I could see in this.
Well, you know, they were going to put another $16 billion into vaccine distribution, testing, and contact tracing.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah. While some of these pharmaceutical companies, why don't they put in their own money?
I believe they can afford it. I really do.
I believe they could afford it.
They were going to give $300 a week to those unemployed for a little while longer. That would go, but as far as going directly to the individuals, no matter who they were, that wasn't going to happen. So it wasn't going to help the people overall. Is that's going to fund the businesses, and as you said, the vaccine market. It's going to fund some health care, housing assistance, all that. It's going to fund all that, and it's going to maybe help some people in some ways, but not down to the individual. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens next. Go ahead.
Pardon?
If things go through like think it will, and Biden takes office in January, they'll probably do another one anyway.
Oh.
They'll have some more control. So we'll see.
But, as long as the stock market's going up, they don't care.
Yeah.
Why would they introduce a stimulus when everything seems to be flowing okay? Consumer confidence is strong. Even manufacturing is above where it should be. We'll see what happens with the jobs report. Now, I put a little damper, and that's what they're probably waiting for, is to see what the jobs... Well, they probably already know, but... we'll know what that jobs report is on Friday. And if it's a good jobs report, why would they introduce a stimulus?
But how do you trust the numbers?
Why would they pass it?
They admit themselves the numbers are inaccurate. Why would you trust their numbers anyway?
They've been saying it's been inaccurate since March.
I know.
Miscalculations.
And they're still saying that, and people still trust it. I mean, happy days are here again. We know they're lying, but it makes us feel better. Keep on lying to us. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, people. I mean, we're being suckered, and a lot of us know it, and a lot of them don't care. That's how you keep a free country. You don't care what the government does. Nah, you don't care.
That is true.
You want to take care of the puppy while I go on?
I do.
you go right ahead. I'll take care of the puppy. I'll take care of the puppy. And folks, I want to share something with you very quickly that William Pitt said that this really fits, I think, today in a lot of different ways. And I want you to tie it into what we're saying today as far as control and different things. William Pitt said this: necessity is a plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is a creed of slaves. Think about that. That's a very true statement. Necessity is the argument of tyrants and the creed of slaves. Well, we trusted man to take care of us, and necessity has made them feed us and clothe us and house us, and we loved it that way. So what does the statement say to us? It's where we are. It's what we reaping right now. We sowed it years ago. Now we're reaping it. And yeah, I don't see it in the near future at all, to tell you the truth. I don't see it turning around. I really, truly don't. So, well, Melody's probably back by now, but I want to bring that point out. You cannot live as a ward of the state and be a free man. It's that simple. Melody, you back with us? Yes, not. She's still taking care of the puppy. Okay. But now, by the way, Melody never asked for a phone call, but you know the number if you want to call. You're welcome to. You know that, right? 844-769-2944. But years ago, 1969, I was on my way to Vietnam, Cameron Bay. I flew into San Francisco. That's where I flew out of, to Vietnam. Flew into San Francisco and into Anchorage, Alaska, then over to Nam. And I went to Chinatown. Now, I am a country boy. I grew up in a little town, population maybe 500 people. Still live in a little town like that. So San Francisco was a huge, huge town for me. I walked across the Golden Gate Bridge, me and a friend, and went to Chinatown. And I was kind of enthralled with that. I wasn't much on town, but the cable cars and all that, there's interesting. But an article here in the Washington Post, that really, it's this passing of another landmark in the country. It breaks your heart to read this. Country's oldest Chinatown fights for its life in San Francisco. Now, folks, if you never got to see that, probably most of you haven't, and I just blessed to be there for a couple of days. It was interesting to see this. The oldest Chinatown in the United States is starting to resemble a ghost town. Red lanterns swinging above the pagodas are reminiscent of tumbleweed. Since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, tourism has declined drastically, leaving the beloved businesses questioning their future. San Francisco's Chinatown, a historic neighborhood that has been a beacon for immigrants and the American dream, has faced racial discrimination, repressive legislation, a massive earthquake, and now a pandemic. One of the greatest tests of this resilient neighborhood's more than century-long existence. It is in this situation where Orlando Kwan finds himself on a metal folding chair next to a crowded table of pastries outside a storefront on a Sunday afternoon, frequently known to be the busiest day for the business. Grant Avenue, a once bustling street in San Francisco's Chinatown, is devoid of tourists. Only the most loyal clients are left to patronize their favorite family-owned businesses. Eastern Bakery, a cornerstone of the neighborhood, first opened its doors in 1924 and became the oldest bakery in Chinatown. But business has slowed to a crawl during the mid-autumn festival. That was break time already. I'll finish the back. My car shot went by quickly. Back at the break, folks. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, we are back. I think Melody's back also, but I do want to finish this article about Chinatown because it is a sad article. It truly is. It's been a haven for tourists for a long time that just wanted to see a different culture at work. In a place at that time I was there, it was a very clean town. The parts I were in, a very attractive town for a city. I know it was a city individual, but it was a place that was kind of fun to visit. But anyway, back to the article. Eastern Bakery, a cornerstone of the neighborhood, first opened its doors in 1924. It became the oldest bakery in Chinatown. Businesses slowed to a crawl. During the mid-autumn festival, typically one of the busiest times of the year, the bakery logged a 70% drop in sales, according to Kwan. Still, he continues to personally greet customers who once included President Bill Clinton, marveling at his table of famous lotus moon cakes and coffee crunch cake, a traditional recipe that is a big seller. 70% drop, folks. They cannot live on 30% of what they made before. Another icon of American history and culture is going. It's going down the tubes. Chinatown is almost a thing of the past. Melody, I was just sharing this while you were going. I went to Vietnam. I think it was late 1969, maybe early 1970. I flew into San Francisco. From there, I flew to Alaska, then into Cameron Bay, Vietnam. But in China, in San Francisco, I walked across Golden Gate Bridge. Me and a very dear friend at the time. We went to Chinatown. We took a ride on the cable cars. San Francisco, I was just a country boy. Come to a town, maybe 400 or 500 people. It was a huge city, and I was uncomfortable in the city, but I enjoyed the sights I saw. It was a clean town, and tourism was really booming. And Chinatown was interesting to me because I never saw anything like it before. And Chinatown is almost a thing of the past. Isn't that a sad thing to say?
It really is. And I mean, it's just part of how we're seeing this nation change. And, you know, really the decline, because the money hasn't been there for these states, these cities to change things. And, you know, now businesses, I mean, you just like we talked about yesterday, I believe, the airlines. Yeah, mm-hmm. They had 1 million people flying. That was 40% of what they normally have.
Yes.
I mean, you can't stay in business and keep the same overhead when your businesses drop by 60, 70, 80%. So.
And they'll make a difference what the reason is either. It makes no difference.
No, it doesn't.
It's the same thing, same results.
Same thing, same results.
So people have to get over that idea that this is not going to change people. I wish to get us out wrong on that. I really do. But it's not come back. Not like it used to be. Not anywhere near what it used to be. You know, I was reading to another article that a new setback for big cities as return to the office fades. The low level of employees back at their workplace is intensifying pain for cities geared toward office life. And this is really another sad statement. Because people worked in offices, folks, and then they rent offices, but they've got on the buildings, made rent money. The employees worked and made a living there, but U.S. employees started heading back to the office in greater numbers after Labor Day, but that pace is stalling now, delivering another blow to economic recovery hopes in many cities. The recent surge in COVID-19 cases across country has led to an uptick in Americans resuming work at home, and there's some momentum have been building for returning to the workplace, property analysis said. Floor after floor of empty office space is a source of great frustration for landlords and companies, which invested millions of dollars in adapting buildings plans and developing new health protocols to make employees comfortable with a shared location. Excuse me. After quoted employees have returned to work on November 18, according to Castle Systems, a security firm that monitors access card swipes is in more than 2,500 office buildings in 10 of the largest U.S. cities. So 25% return, folks, one-fourth of what was there went back to work. And now it's dropping back down to around 15%. It's already dropping that much. 25% of what they had will not sustain the businesses and the landlord's fees coming in. They can't do it. And now it's dropping back down again. And it's just a sad situation. Another victim of COVID-19. And it says there's a huge headwind against company executives to strongly push their employees' bases to come back to work. I mean, they want to go back to work, but obviously the employees are maybe too afraid to, or the new restrictions don't allow. But either way, it makes no difference. The building is still empty.
Yeah. But you know what? Stock market's higher, Butch, so all must be well.
Of course.
And is. Biden has been elected, so he's going to take care of everything, right?
I guarantee you he is. I guarantee you he will. Yeah. He'll take care of us just as good as Trump did.
So, you know, what's there to worry? Or all the ones prior to both of them.
Exactly. I agree. In our lifetime, Melody, we've both been around long enough now. You've seen it in 39 years. I've seen it in 72 years. You've seen change administrations.
You remembered. Thank you.
I remember. But the change administrations, we've seen this happen. Now, folks, unless you've been blinded, you can have to admit I'm right on this. With every administration, I can remember back as far as Eisenhower. Now, I don't remember Eisenhower's way he did or whatever. But I can remember him being president. That's how old I am. I remember the 1950s. But every administration since then, with Johnson or Kennedy, Reagan, all right on up the line, with each administration, we were taken further into debt and further into slavery. But whatever means they had to do it, they did it. And I don't know if anyone, and people say, well, Reagan, a great time under Reagan. You can believe what you want to believe, folks. The facts prove differently. They prove differently. He was a good speaker. He really was. I mean, he could.
Everybody loved Reagan.
Oh, they did.
You couldn't help but like the guy.
Well, he was an actor, for goodness sake. I mean, he could sell an igloo to an Eskimo, you know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, no problem. He could do that. But it didn't change the fact, folks, when he left, the nation was worse off than it was before he took it, because each administration has planned to do that. You can believe it or not believe it. Research it for yourself. You'll find out how we've been lied to, maneuvered into World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea. Watch what's happened. Iraq, and by the way, tonight's guest in my program, Melly, was in Iraq in 2003, a medic. He's going to share some things that should shake people up, the truth of what we really did over there. But folks, we have been maneuvered and manipulated for so long that we either got used to it or blind to it, or both. And that's why we're in the mess we're in.
I mean, we really are. They make us see what they want us to see. I mean, not the majority of us that are listening to this program, and Butch and myself. I mean, yeah, we know what's going on behind the scenes. But for the general population, they see what they're given to see. And then they in the behind the scenes, you have all the bad things that they do. And these people never see it. And and I don't know how to open their eyes. I think that's why President Trump, I think to some degree, he said the things we not to some degree he said the things that
we want
what
to hear.
We believe in
yes
that were important to the conservatives. So I think he did open a lot of eyes to what was going on in the beginning. But I think he also closed a lot of eyes. And that was the sad part. And, I mean, hey, he's still got a heck of a lot of votes. So he's still pretty much in demand. But the things, and that's what they do. And that's what the other side's going to do to the Democrats. You know, they talk about the things that are important to them. And then they just turn around and do it to us once again.
We've fallen for that same scenario for so long. We really have. We truly have. I mean, folks, we have. And I know I made a lot of enemies. I lost support for our program when I said in 2016 I wasn't voting for either one of them. I did. I said, well, Trump's
going to... I did, too. Lost all through the 4 years that we talked. And I'm not saying he didn't do some good things. A lot of the things that he did do is just going to be reversed. And that's what upsets me.
Yeah.
If you're going to make changes, you can't make changes on something that can be reversed. And the thing of it is, and you look at DACA, you had Obama who said, well, this isn't constitutional, but I'll let the next president worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, and what did the next president do?
Nothing.
So there's just too much. Anyway, we've talked about this before, but I've lost.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating because you want to believe him. You want to believe him. I believed Reagan. I believed him. I did. I sucked right into it.
Yep.
That's about the last time I ever sucked into it, though. That's been a while back.
Yep.
But I've seen what's happened, and I saw the promises that Trump made in 2015, and I saw those things. And I said, man, be great if he'd do them. But something inside me knew he wouldn't. And he had 2 years of control of Congress and the House and still didn't. Nothing amounts to anything that changed anything drastically enough to make it permanent. Ever. Now, folks, get over it. You're mad, you're mad. I'm sorry. But I'm telling you the truth, and if you have wide enough to see the truth, you'll admit I'm right on that. Now
and it isn't because...
Permanent.
Butch, it wasn't because Trump couldn't or didn't want to, maybe. I'll even take it this far. But it's Washington.
Sure.
They weren't going to allow it to happen. So, and you can't say, well, his hands were tied and so forth. He had the media. You could say all you want about how bad the media was to Trump, and I'll agree with you. But he had an open mic 24/7 for 4 years.
And
so,
2 years
and
unopposed, basically.
If you can sway people to vote for you, but you can't sway the nation to get on your side to make these changes, then that wasn't your goal for going in there to begin with.
Telling the truth.
So, anyway, that's
you're
just
the truth.
And that doesn't mean I didn't have hope.
Oh, we all had hope. I thought I was thinking maybe I was actually praying, Lord, hope I'm wrong with this. Hope he gets in and he does what he says he's going to do. And once he left, I thought maybe he'll do something. And I waited, and I really did wait. I was hoping and thinking maybe he will, maybe he will. But in my gut, I knew he wouldn't. You know, I would like to have been wrong. I would love to have been wrong, but I wasn't.
And how many people are hanging on to him reversing this election?
I know. And many of the people we say that are supposedly higher-ups are saying he's going to. But you need to look at their background, folks. You need to look
who are these higher-ups?
Well, generals and lawyers and,
who?
You know. Oh, McInerney and Flynn and what's your name? The lady, the lawyer. Mine's going to blank right now. Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to blank on her name.
Oh.
I mean... So, and,
what, do you think a lawyer's going to come out if they're fighting a case and say they're going to lose? No. They're going to come out and say they're going to win.
Some judges are ruling in his favor. Some are ruling against it. People, this is another show. It's another show. I don't like to bust your bubble.
And it's sad,
it's
Butch, because it's taken away from the real problem.
That's part of the plan. It always has been part of the plan.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for years, Melody. They bring one crisis after another, keep people's eyes off what's really happening, while they further enslave the people and bankrupt the people, not just here but worldwide. They're doing it right now with all manner of cover-ups and issues. They're waving a flag when you're looking in that direction, but behind the scenes, they're tearing something down. Folks, this has been on for years. We got to quit pretending this is all normal, because it's not normal. It's normal for them, and it's normal for us to fall for this trick. But it's time for us to say we're not going to fall this any longer. We know there's something going on. We know this is a farce. Just like COVID has been hyped up to destroy the economy of the world. Understand these things, folks. These are for real issues that you're waving in front of us to distract us from what they're doing to the world's economy. Bringing in the reset. Perhaps even digital federal dollars for more control. Please don't be deceived any longer. Open your eyes and look the truth. It's not pleasant. Oh, I agree, it's not pleasant. It may make you sick your stomach, but it's better to prepare yourself for it than to be blindsided. Believe me, it is. So, anyway, that's my spiel. I'll shut up and let you say something.
Well, now, you know what's really sad, and it's just totally off the topic. I see this headline, LSD use in the ranks prompts testing at USMC base.
Oh, yes.
They're doing, the Marine Corps is conducting random tests because of the use of LSD. They've conducted nearly 4,000 random tests since the start of the summer. The division leader, Major General Francis Donovan, said the recent rise in LSD use among sailors and Marines on the base has prompted them to change how they test for illegal substances. You know, that's really sad.
It is sad.
It really is sad.
You know, just another flaw, another decay of morality in our nation. That's just the way it is.
But, you know, and I don't know how many... I don't know how big that base is. Isn't it Camp Lejeune? Perhaps. I don't know.
I really don't know that.
If that's the one. It shows that there's a picture of this. So I don't know if that's the camp, but it is in North Carolina. These are the soldiers that could be going to war.
I could tell you a story about the Vietnam War, too, Melody, but then
I can imagine.
I can tell you things there. I really can. You know, back to economic real quick before the next break. Black Friday in-store shopping dropped 52.1%, and online sales broke records. So it's a happy and a sad.
Yeah.
You know? I guess the retailers are doing okay, but people didn't go in the stores as much. And so now Cyber Monday's picking, you know, this supposed to be I guess it did turn things around for them financially. So I suppose that's good because we know most businesses, the retailers, make their money during the holidays.
Well, the sad thing about, and we'll find out on, well, I don't know if those numbers will be reflected in the November jobs report. But when you have retail down that much, what do you think it does to employment?
Obviously the brick and mortar stores are suffering big time.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, you don't need too many employees to take an online order.
But you know what? They told us we were in a recession back in February. So, I mean, and no one even talks about it. Once in a while, you might hear somebody say, well, you know, we've been in this recession since, you know, February of last year.
Well, comparing February to now, we were booming in February.
Yeah. And we were still in a recession.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the music. We'll be right back. You know the past is a loser. The face you're wearing is different now. And the day is run hot and cold. Are you under the power of God? The power of God.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And Butch,
yes.
Where are you going to take us now?
Well, I think I discussed what the Democrats are going to do when you get in office here in the next month.
We know.
They should discuss that. Worst economic climate for years, and Dems want to explode minimum wage. This is insane, but it's what they're going to do. Raising the federal minimum wage from its current $7.25 an hour rate has been a progressive dream for some time. So much so, it seems, Democrats are willing to push for it despite the worst economic climate for such a change in years. Democrats in Congress are expected to push for a $15 an hour minimum wage as part of the next major COVID-19 relief bill, though this will likely be paired with some business tax incentives to blunt the impact of small businesses. It remains a dangerous idea that could hamper the economic recovery from the pandemic. I know these people, unless they're dumber than a rock, can see that raising minimum wage cuts jobs. Melody, surely the goodness they can see that. Employees who can't afford to pay what they're paying now, if they double that, they're going to have to lay out people. Don't they understand that?
Well, there's no way you can raise it to $15 an hour in the climate that we're in now. When you have businesses, locking up their doors, shuttering their windows, you can't do
it. Instead of giving tax breaks, but if they're not working anyway, what kind of tax breaks do you need?
Yeah.
You know? But this is what you're talking about. This is being discussed right now. And I'm seeing this, and surely... Well, I won't even say surely. You can't trust them for anything. A lot of them, like Cortez, Cortez, probably be all for this because it makes perfect sense to give the money to these people and bankrupt more companies. It makes sense to me. I mean, after all, we don't need free enterprise.
Well, the one thing that if you look at the administration that Biden is picking, there are a lot of Obama picks, right? So you'd have to think that they're going to have the same type of administration. So, and what did really Obama do? He really didn't do anything. And they had the House and the Senate, I believe, for the first, I don't know if they had it for the first 4 years or the first two or something like that. And then they did get the Affordable Care Act passed. But that was a bomb. So they will do something big, probably, just like President Trump did one big thing that they can attach his name to. But and it's kind of like every president, they have this one big thing that's the only thing that they can get done. So maybe, since we know Obama's people that he had... they weren't that, we know what to expect, but we're in for trouble.
We are.
We're in trouble.
If Trump won,
I'm trying to be positive there, and I can't. I can't.
We're watching the whole thing unravel around us, and we're both old enough now to see the changes in our lifetime. That if you had told me some of these things, Melody, back even 30 years ago, I probably would have had a hard time believing them. I really would have.
You know, we talked about, but you talked about these things that long ago. But you know what? We've just never thought it would happen.
I know.
We talk about it, the possibilities, and the craziness of it, but there was always someone along the way that, you know, it didn't get done. But now these things are getting done, and that's the scary part.
Yeah, the scripture tells that a God of this nation, that he will break the bread, the staff of bread. In other words, he'll cause people to suffer financially, and that's what's happening. It's what's happening. And another article here, a different topic, but I think it's interesting. Edward Henry. Have you ever heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Edward Henry retracted Johns Hopkins article, proves COVID-19 death statistics from the CDC are manipulated. This is what this article says. She found that there was zero increase in deaths across the United States between 2018 and 2020. She determined that the percentage of deaths among all age groups remained relatively the same. She thus concluded that COVID-19 has relatively no effect on deaths in the United States. So this is from Genevieve Bryan. And this is what they figured out. In 2017, folks, 2,813,503 people died. In 2018, 2,839,206 people died. In 2019, 2,855,000 people died. In 2020, they project right now 2,838,000. Exactly, almost the same amount of numbers all the way down the line. And according to Fox News and COVID count, if you catch COVID and you're 19 years or younger, your rate of survival is 99.997%. Wow, I'd be scared, right? 20 to 49, 99.98%. 50 to 69 years old, 99.5%. Oh, get scared. 70 years plus, 94.6%. Folks, you got less than a 5% chance at any age, and the worst one is 70%. But this is hyped up. This is from CDC, not my numbers, Fox News and CDC. And they're telling us people are dying by the hundreds of thousands and thousands, but the number is not up on the records. And the number surely does not show the death rate being all that drastic when it comes to percentages. So, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to stay still, panic, and walk in fear? You going to be controlled by that fear? I hope not. I really do. But, you know, we talk about spending here in the States, Melody. Canada's COVID-19 response is to spend heavily and ignore the deficit for now. Canada said it's worth it to spend more money that we don't have to hopefully bail out businesses and stop this fiscal crisis right now and worry about it later down the road. Isn't that kicking a can down the road? Isn't that what you call that?
I think so.
So the remedy to the remedy to being broke is spend more money.
Well, that's the only thing that they can do. And it's no remedy. It's just to keep it going.
So this situation, and this is not in America, folks. This is worldwide. This is in Canada. And Canada they're not in bad shape. We are financially, actually. But this is hurting them also. Now they're going to spend more money they don't have, and we'll worry about the outcome later. And these next two articles, I think, should show something also. This is in Britain, UK. British department store chain Debenhams will close all of its 124 stores as it enters liquidation, with 12,000 jobs at risk. Top shop owner Arcadia falls into administration, putting more than 13,000 jobs at risk. It's the UK's biggest corporate casualty of the COVID-19 crisis so far. So, Melanie, we keep saying this. This is actually worldwide. It's not just here. This is affecting jobs all over the world. And the UK is nowhere near the size of this country in population or anything else. But I just read off here 25,000 jobs gone in these two different companies here. 25,000 jobs is a lot of paychecks not going into the households, isn't it?
That's true. That's very true.
So you figure if they're married and have children, I don't know how their system works over there. I'm sure they have unemployment and other things. I have no idea how that works in the UK. But it's still unemployment that runs out sooner or later. And how are they going to replace those jobs if other businesses are not prospering either? So I want to share those three things. Canada and the UK are suffering with the United States over COVID. Knowing the numbers are hyped, knowing this is a control factor, it is still going on. And people all over the world are getting kind of uneasy about it. They're getting kind of upset and actually starting to speak up, finally speak up and say, this is enough. We've had enough. And more power to them. Because we're ruining the world economy on purpose, obviously, for the elite to control everything we do and say. It's working very well for them. And unless the people change it, it's not going to change.
But Butch, they're not ruining the economy. The economy was already ruined.
Well, they're just hurrying it up. Let's put it that way. Just driving it faster down the yeah. They just open the drain up.
Getting to the end sooner than later.
And we see where it's leading. Now, this is in the UK. I keep sharing it because I want them to see, because what goes on there will come here eventually.
Yes.
UK bars and cinemas may require proof of COVID-19 vaccination before you can go in there. The UK restaurants, bars, cinemas, and sports venues may require proof that people received COVID-19 vaccination in order for them to visit, Britain's vaccine minister said Monday. Now, folks, listen to that. Nadim Zahawi, a UK's vaccine minister, said getting vaccinated should be voluntary, but a phone app used for contact tracing may include a person's vaccine status, which businesses could use. Are you seeing it's voluntary, but if you don't do it, you can't function. That's like the mark of the beast. You don't need to do it, but if you don't, you won't eat. But also, I think you'll probably find the restaurants and bars and cinemas and other venues, sports venues, will probably also use that system as they've done with the app. This sort of pressure will come with both ways, from service providers. Pay attention, folks, from service providers who will ask, look, demonstrate to us that you have been vaccinated, but also we will make the technology as easy and accessible as possible, according to your orders. When Zawe was asked whether it would be almost impossible to do anything without the vaccine, he said, I think people have to make a decision, but I think you'll probably find many service providers will want to engage in this in a way they did with the app. That's come out and tell you folks that you're not going to be able to go in the store and buy and sell and trade without the vaccination. That kind of resembles Revelation 13 to me. And believe me, it's coming to a state near you. Any comments, Melody?
No, I mean, we already know airlines have been doing research on how it can be done, how your passport can be marked to travel to other countries, and it'll probably be in interstate here in this country. It'll be part of show me your papers.
That's right.
And that could very well be one of them. And so... It's
10-12 years ago longer, I made a statement at a church Bible study that one day you're going to have an internal passport across state lines.
Sure.
And I didn't know all the details, and I didn't know how they were going to do it. Now how they're going to do it is getting very clear. It's become very plain how they're going to do mm-hmm. it. And so, folks, I'm not an Old Testament prophet, but I can take the Bible, I can take current events, I can show what's coming next because it lines up with the Bible. The COVID vaccination-proof vaccine is leading up to the Mark of the Beast. Truly is.
And they're testing us.
Oh, yes, they're testing us. Of course they are.
I mean, just like New York, shutting down the bridges and the tunnel, Thanksgiving. What, they're going to take your temperature going? It's all part of all of these, and you go back and look at all the DUI blockades and the checkpoints and things like that. Sure, drinking under the influence is horrible. No one should do it. But on the other hand, to have checkpoints and making you stop and do all this, it goes back. I can remember saying this on Dr. Stan's program, and he, about smoking. What do you think the smoking thing was all about?
Sure, of course.
Oh well, he says, well, smoking really was bad for you. Yes, it is. It was. But that gave the state, the government,
yep.
to tell us where, who, what, when, and where we could smoke. And trust me, I love going into a restaurant not getting a pile of smoke in my face. I love it.
I understand
but
that.
But that didn't, and that should have been left up to each individual restaurant. And it was at first, and then it was mandated that everybody do it.
It's like seatbelts were. But
people
couldn't
even smoke in their own apartments.
No, that's true. That's very true. In New York City, they stopped that.
So
that's very true.
They've been conditioning us for a very long time.
But you stop and think about the idea of the roadblocks for DUI. You were guilty until you proved yourself innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that reverse what it's supposed to be? Fly in the face of what America was based on. You're innocent, proven guilty, but now you got to prove you're not drunk so you can cross the line. Isn't that just the opposite of what we should stand for as a people who call ourselves free people? I know men who didn't comply who were arrested. They would not be checked and were arrested. Yes, they were. They got out. They won the cases, but they went through hell getting there. But they made their point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could beat those raps. You can beat that.
Yep, you can.
So the conditioning, it goes way back beyond even the smoking. And I mean, look at a lot of the senior citizens, people in their 80s now. You know, all the social programs in the very beginning.
Yep.
They thought he got, they loved him. And it was not good. It was conditioning.
Of course it was.
They take us to, it's been going on, from day one. It's been going on from the beginning of time, probably.
It's called creeping incrementalism.
Yeah. Oh.
And there's the music.
And there's the music, so we're creeping right into the end of the program. So, thank you, Butch. It's a great show program. And we'll be back tomorrow. So, until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.